You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM. This is Melting Pot, and it is my distinct honor to have in our studios right now Kenny Dope. How are you doing, man?
What's up? I'm good.
You were in town for a bunch of different shows, like really different shows too. And it truly is an honor for you to spend a little time with us. I know you're about to catch a flight, actually,
yeah,
and so. We're going to try and just have a really short interview and then have quite a lot of time for Kenny to get on the wheels and give you guys a guest DJ set. One of the things, just to start out with, I was just really interested in just how you came to DJing way back in the 1980s.
Well, basically, as a kid, I seen two brothers on the block. They had a set that they would come out on weekends and put in the front. In front of the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, so me being, I think, probably like 8 or 9, going to the store for my mom's and stuff and seeing that was like, I was like, wow, okay. And then one thing that always stuck in my mind was them transitioning from one record to the next and cutting records back and forth and stuff like that. So that got me interested.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, you know, as every kid, you try to do it on your pop's turntable, the same thing. And they're like, yo, don't ruin my records and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But, yeah, so, you know, I started listening to the radio. Marley Marl, Awesome 2, Red Alert, DJ Chuck, Chill Out. You know, I was listening to those shows and started becoming familiar with different hip-hop songs and stuff like that. About 1985, I was 15. I tried to get a job at a record store. They were like, no. and then I kept going back, and then, you know, I would buy my little records with my allowance there and stuff like that. So, you know, sooner or later he did give me a job. And you know, one of the things at the store was, you had to be able to sell all different types of music and be into all different types of music, which I think, has helped me to this day, because it was it gave me an open mind, and I had to learn about alternative rock music. And you know, at that time, you know, I lived in a neighborhood that was I was surrounded. On one side I had African American, the other side I had Jamaican, the other side I had Jewish, the other side I had Italian, and then we was Puerto Rican and Mexican in the middle. So it was just like I was surrounded by all these different backgrounds of people,
mm-hmm.
and their styles of music.
Yeah.
So being at the store, I had to be able to sell those records. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, like I said, it's definitely helped my production. It's helped me as a DJ and as an individual. You know what I'm saying? Because of all those different styles. You know.
Yeah. It. Hearing you tell that story makes a lot of sense. Just because you're one of the more, you know, diverse. There's so many different areas and so many different sounds that have been in your repertoire over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was thinking, I knew it had to be, you know, a couple different things, but it seems like in you telling it that especially the experience of growing up in New York in the 1980s, that kind of had a really big influence on how you heard music, being able to hear radio at that point. And all these different communities and having to kind of bridge the gaps between them.
And the different, you know, the whole thing about DJing was the DJs at that time wasn't stuck into one style. They played music.
Yeah.
It was just either good or bad, and they played what they felt and what their identity was, and they molded the music into what, you know, and played it that way. You know what I'm saying? But something else stemming from that, you know, leading up, you know, probably 10 years later, you know, comes New Eureka Soul, and basically, again, it's the same thing. It's that album was, you know, we wanted to do all of our influences growing up, and that's why that album is so diverse as well. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to work with a lot of those artists, you know, doing either remixes for them or working on their albums, that when we decided to do it, we brought them all together and created it. And it was crazy because when we created it, I didn't think about what we did or realized it until the day of the photo shoot, when I saw all of them in one room and we're all there. And I'm like, wow, like, and I'm just looking around at all the stars and all the artists in the room, and I'm just like, damn, we did this. This is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's like you grow up playing a break of this artist or mm-hmm. a record, or you heard your pops play the record, you know, one of their albums and stuff, and now here you are and you recorded this album, which now is a legendary album. So it's like it feels good for sure.
Yeah, I think that if my memory serves correctly, I think it was probably that New Yorican Soul record was the first that that like I attached to kind of your name, and then started to learn more about the work that you did with Louis Vega and Masters at Work. And again, you know, part of the reason why it's such an honor to me is, you know, you're one of a handful of DJs that I can say truly influenced, you know, a different way of listening to music. Because mm-hmm. I think coming up in hip hop, a lot of times you have to listen to music a little bit differently just because the music is built off of so many different styles. Mm-hmm. But there's some people whose approach to bringing music together, especially on that record and remixes that you've done, the Funk Spectrum thing you did with Kip Darge was also like a major influence on how I looked for music and thought about music and mm-hmm. just kind of changed how I was thinking about things.
Excuse me.
And again, that diversity of sounds and the ability to mix in so many different things is one of the things I really appreciate you about your work. I wonder, in thinking about kind of from the past to the present, do you feel like that is something that's becoming a lost art for a lot of DJs coming up?
Well, I think, you know, you got to realize this, you know, you guys are real fortunate to have an Amoeba store out here, mm-hmm. you know, whereas we don't really have that on the East Coast of that magnitude and that size. Mm. And where you can say, all right, you know what? I feel like checking out world music today. Or I feel like checking out, you know, Calypso, whatever yeah. the case may be. Soul, yeah. funk, jazz, you know, soundtracks. I want to look for movies today because I feel like staying in. You know, we don't have that. So, you know, coming from that, it's just like I think over there, excuse me, I'm getting a cold. But, on that side, you know, the kids really, they're looking at YouTube and the record store's not there, you know, mm-hmm. whereas like we had that growing up mm-hmm. and you can't really blame them, you know what I'm saying, for yeah. what they're into because they don't know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. Think about the hip hop today. You know, the hip hop today to the hip hop that we had growing up. One of the things that we came up on was we wanted to know what those samples were.
Yeah.
So it was an educational thing as well. You know, today they don't have that. Mm-hmm. So YouTube is as good as the information you have to put in it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So the whole digging aspect is totally different. So, you know, it's hard. It's tough right now for mm-hmm. that, in that aspect.
Oh, it's also... And you're also one of you know, a DJ who's completely and totally comfortable and has like a I would imagine a, you know, an unimpeachable knowledge and kind of collection, vinyl collection. But you also use Serato, and I was wondering how a couple things connected to Serato, maybe on a personal kind of thing, like how working with this technology has affected your ability to DJ or how you conceptualize DJing, that kind of thing?
Well, the crazy thing is, you know, I'm a late bloomer on Serato, so, you know, the only reason, you know, I switched over was because I didn't want to burn any more CDs, you know, from the transition from vinyl to CDs was drastic because records were going missing on the road. Promoters didn't want to pay the extra baggage to bring the crates.
Yeah.
So that's where I had to do something. Then I moved to CDs. Did that for a while. And then everybody's like, Serato. And I'm just like, I know too much music. I get confused. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much stuff in there that, you know, I know so much that I'm like, I get lost. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why I was like asking you. I was like, before, I was like, all right, so what do you want me to play? Because I got to sift through the stuff and try to remember. And the way my mind works is like I'm so used to pulling out the next 4 or 5 records that I want to play.
Yeah.
But now I got to think about the hard drive and think about songs. Like, and then I got to think about the spelling like on the spot. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And the thing is, I don't play the same set every time, so it gets difficult for me. And I'm still in that transitional period. Seriously, like it's crazy because it's so much music. You got to think it's like soul, funk, jazz, Latin, Brazilian, hip hop, breaks, reggae.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes on and goes on from there, and it stems, and then samples, and then this, and then that.
I know, and it's like you can put them into crates, but with somebody like you, it'd be like crates into crates into crates into crates because there's
like,
so much music.
So I'm still, you know, like before every gig, I make a folder. Mm-hmm. Say, you know what, I might play these 200 records.
Yeah.
But it's like almost building crates every day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not there yet with it, and it's crazy because I still love the vinyl and I still love playing the vinyl. You know what I mean? But you can't bring it out with you.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying before to Azul, like, you know, for yesterday's date, you know, I had my box ready with all the styles, mm-hmm. but I had to condense it because it wasn't going to fit in the plane and I wasn't going to check my records. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to, you know, do without, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of connected to this Serato issue. I just went because, you know, part of what you were here for is you were doing sets at Coachella, and then you also were doing all vinyl at Blazin' 45s, and these are two really different audiences for those kind of things. And I was just wondering, like, experience, huh?
And I did Rhonda, too.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I did a Rhonda pool party, so it was, like, three different experiences.
Yeah, it's just... With, like, I would imagine the Blazin' 45s audience, like, that's an audience that's really familiar kind of with you and your work. Mm-hmm. I would think less so maybe with the Rhonda party and with the Coachella party. But, like, what was the kind of different experience having all that crammed into almost like a 24-hour period?
Well, right now it's just like back in the days and listening to different styles and being on the spot and your boss telling you, yo, you got to learn all these different styles. But, you know, mainly I do it is because, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, play to the new crowds and expose them to the way I'm going to play something opposed to the next guy or the DJ that's not actually mixing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of them out there right now.
Yeah.
But the Coachella thing was dope because it was a young crowd and they didn't know who I was. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the set, they were like, a lot of people came up and was like, "Who? What's your name? And how can we find you?" So I did my job. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, now we got a bunch of 19 to 21 kids that know the name now, that didn't know walking into Coachella. You understand what I'm saying? So that's important. You know, and I think a lot of DJs are really content on, they're so caught up in who they are that they're not worried about or want to teach the younger generation. You know what I'm saying? And it's very important. Like, doing the show is important. Like, that's why we try to fit it in because, you know, I never did radio like that before because I was always running around or really just younger and just not really paying attention. But, you know, now I have labels. I have things to say. You know what I'm saying? I have records to put people onto. You know, and it's cool, you know. So I'm giving back to the people who support me, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm sure you've played my record, so I got to come to your show and support your show, you know what I mean? So I think that's important as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. I know we're running up, you know, only got a short amount of time, and we want to get you to have the most of the time for this set. Just real quickly, just what are some of the projects that you have coming up in the near future?
Well, I have a 12-piece band they call the Fantastic Souls. That should be out later this year in September. I already did 245s, After Shower Funk, and Sold to the People. But Raheem Devon is on the album. Dion Farris is on the album. My artist Rashi Chappelle is on the album. I'm also doing Rashi Chappelle's second album. We did the first album, it was called Future Before Nostalgia, so the second joint is straight hip hop. So yeah, just going back to what I was doing before, new Buckethead's albums coming too. So there's, you know, and they're all different, you know what I'm saying? It's all on different vibes. So
cool.
Look out for that. And the KD Records, you know, KD Records basically is a label, that I started out in 2003. It's actually a 10th year anniversary this year, and, started out as a reissue label, but we're actually moving towards making new stuff, you know what I mean? New mm-hmm. material. But with that 70s vibe and recording live to analog and all that.
Cool, cool. Yeah. There's so many different things that I could talk to you about. I mean, you're...
Nah, we'll definitely come back, man. We'll do it again, for sure.
do you know if you're going to be coming back to L.A. anytime soon?
Probably, I think, in about 6 weeks, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
6 to 8 weeks, probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe. If not, then definitely in the future, because there's a lot more to talk with you, and, cool. and I,
hit
and I
Tracy
really would appreciate
up, man. Get it done.
Hopefully so. All right. So we have a real special treat for y'all right around the top of the hour. Kenny Dope, guest DJ set here at KPFK in Melting Pot. We're just going to take a moment here, and we're going to get Kenny set up on the turntables. And before we get to that, I wanted to play you one of the many, many fantastic remixes that the man has done. In this case, this is the Kenny Dope remix of the Jackson 5, It's Great to Be Here, that you're going to hear right now on KPFK and Melting Pot. Guest DJ set from Kenny Dope, Masters at Work, coming up in just a few moments right after this at the top of the hour on KPFK 90.7 FM.